Today, in our first episode, we're honored to have the trailblazing entrepreneur and the creative force behind hashtag Life in the DIY, Christina Dene, joining us. And in this episode, Christina will take us on a captivating journey through the genesis of her idea, a journey that birthed the phenomenal Big Heads and Beats. But that's not all. She'll share the invaluable lessons learned from other ideas that paved the way for her triumphant successes. So buckle up for a conversation filled with insights, inspiration, and the unique wisdom that only Christina can bring. And let's dive into the world of the power of turning ideas into reality. And without further ado, let's welcome Christina Dene to Illuminated, the 12 Months of I. Welcome!
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here, especially on episode one. It means a lot.
I know, and we've kind of gone through a lot of fun things together over the last few years since we've met. But I would love for everyone to kind of know about you and kind of what your life is like, but just give, you know, a brief, you know, bio, and then we can like dive into the whole idea thing.
Absolutely. So it's a little bit of a story, but I'll try to surmise. Born in Buffalo, New York. I was born to artistic parents, artists, musicians. I'm an only child. So they had me out there working at like 6 years old. It was like Michael Jackson, but not really. But, you know, my dad worked a 9-to-5 at a plant like most Buffalonians did back then. And then at night he would draw and sing, and that's how he hustled. My mom did a lot of artwork from home. She was also a musician. So I just kind of grew up around all of that. And I'm an artist myself. So I was from birth. There really was no choice. Like I said, I was working with them at a young age. So by the time I was 16, I was on my own. I was in a band and I was broke because that's kind of how it starts, unfortunately, in that world. But, you know, I hit the ground running. I really wanted to, I was very driven. I wanted to be a rock star. That was what I was going to do. This would be the next Whitney Houston. It's going down. So left home very young, had some trials and tribulations before that, of course. But long story short, I started my own company after a very long time of grinding it out, band in a van, the whole thing, many different versions of a band that I had been in with my own music. And then in 2009, I decided to start Big Head Cartoon. I've always drawn caricatures. I'd always been an artist. So I decided to start going to the restaurants because I'd worked in the hospitality industry for years in this time. So I've worked at every restaurant there is in Western New York. If it's easier for me to tell you the ones I didn't work at than the ones I did. Nightclubs, the whole thing. So it was a good fit for me. It gave me flexibility, but I needed something more. I wanted to invest in my own music. I wanted to really be a creative full time, not just get by. I wanted to thrive. So started Big Head Cartoon, doing tableside caricatures at local restaurants, and I would do some unique marketing for them. I would make sure every Wednesday they knew free caricatures here for kids' night. I would do, you know, their logo on the bottom of every page. So over that time, and I'm a talker, over that time, I really gave cards out to everybody I ever walked up to a table to. So instead of waiting on them and giving them a steak, I was drawing them a caricature and giving them a business card. So over that time, my band Breaker Box started to really make noise in the independent music industry. My company started to kind of become a company, and I was able to really pull it off. I was drawing full-time and playing music full-time. We started to invest in our own music. I bought a recording studio. We produced our own music videos. We started producing concert series with Heineken and Red Bull. So I learned how to kind of create those relationships with companies and provide them with a product. So it really, I understood what filling a need was and building relationships. All that being said, by 2019, we were ready to jump out of Buffalo and go to a bigger market. We had really hit a ceiling with everything that we had done. So we relocated to Nashville, Tennessee in early 2019, just in time for a global pandemic. So everything fell apart there. After about a year of being in town, we were very, very blessed in many, many ways. But we had really hit the ground running when we moved here. And Debbie, that's when you and I met, was in the first year. So it's such a supportive community. They believe in the arts. They respect the arts. It's such a wonderful energy that even though the world shut down, this was, for me, the best place I could have been. My partner Scott and I quickly came up with something to fill a need because that's what we had been doing as independent artists for 15 years at that point. So we created the Big Heads and Beats virtual caricature art party experience. So we released it through Big Head Cartoon, which was my caricature company. I had artists working in Buffalo still. I had built a team of artists here in Middle Tennessee. And like I said, everything shut down. So we came up with this concept. It was a live drumming DJ streaming from his Nashville recording studio. So it was everything that Scott, my partner, was doing anyway. I was doing digital caricatures. So we just started with a concept, just an idea to fill a quick need for maybe kids' birthday parties or people that just had things planned because we thought it was 2 weeks. So we'll just go for 2 weeks. We'll do this. And
Little did we know,
right? It's still 2 weeks, right?
Right.
So I put out a little YouTube video just saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. If you have kids' birthday parties, if you have anything that you just want to connect with your friends, this is what I'm doing. It blew up so fast, Debbie, we didn't know how to handle it. We handled it, you know, a neck injury later and a twitch in my left eye, but everything else went really great. We built an incredible team of some of the very best digital caricature artists in North America because they were all in the same position. We built this wonderful just program. We really learned how to produce it. We worked with colleges, corporations around the world. We added on quickly more virtual experiences like, you know, our virtual holiday parties. We had guest host Santa. We had virtual pumpkin carvings with Halloween Wars finalists. We just kept riding the wave of this idea and it hasn't stopped. So that's in the whole time I've been writing music and we're playing music still because that's just what I do. But it's opened up my life, our life in many, many ways. In some ways it's changed in ways that I miss. But it's changed my life in a lot of wonderful ways. And that's what I choose to focus on. And it's brought me to a place as an entrepreneur and a creative that I never could have imagined.
Yeah, your story, every time you tell it is always like, how am I friends with this person? Like, you inspire me on a daily basis. And I know that we try to get together somewhat to have lunch or coffee or just work together because yeah. I think that our creative energy and vibes just work so well together. But every time I hear, I'm just like, because people ask me all the time, like, how do you have time for this? You just do. You figure it out. Like, the ideas just can't get out of your brain. And I think that sometimes I think of an idea as like a spark. You know, and I'm like, I'm igniting this spark and I'm going to do it and full on. Do your ideas come to you that way? Or are they like a slow burn?
It depends. I really believe there's a friend of mine, Mike Shimshack. He's a producer and creator here in Nashville. He always told me, he goes, they're like diamonds. Sometimes you pick them up. Sometimes you don't. Somebody's picking one up. Like, I really believe that God, the universe, whatever you want to call, whatever you're comfortable with, gives ideas to all of us and they're there for the taking. So sometimes I've had ideas. I mean, I remember Scott and I were in a hotel once 15 years ago, probably longer than that. And we were in some weird city with our band. And I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great if somebody, we just had like a thing on our phone, because there weren't even like smartphones yet, that they could just go to our favorite restaurant and bring us food.
You were the first creator of
DoorDash, but I did nothing about it. I just said, yeah, that would be cool, and went to sleep. So, I mean, but there's things like that in the ether. So, I mean, sometimes they're just sparks. Like, Big Heads and Beats was an idea we had on a plane. So this is, I guess, an example of a slow burn that turned into an atomic bomb. But we were coming back and forth to Nashville from Buffalo with our band. So we were coming to recording, we were playing a little bit, and then we would go back. And we both were self-employed in Western New York. So that was our market. So we were like, oh, how are we going to work in Nashville? Like, how does this work? And Scott was like, well, everything you always tell me about drawing at events, because I was drawing full time still, was that I'm always next to the DJ and the DJ is always screamingly loud. So I'm screaming, the people that are getting drawn are screaming. It's like I would come home with a migraine and I'm in a rock band. So long story short, Scott was like, we should do it where I have like volume controlled drums. And while they're waiting in line, they can watch me play and I'll play like really good songs and then they'll have a nice energy. So it was just an idea. And we started to do it for live events for a very short time, for like 3 months. And then the world shut down. But look what it turned into. So I think to your point, it can be a spark, it can be a slow burn, but you just kind of have to follow it. Like, it's going to lead you where, and kind of revamping, I think that's something I talk to people a lot that ask me that question. I'm like, kind of refreshing your view on the idea, because you do that a lot. You know, I know a few of your concepts you've had to, you know, not to, but you have to be like water. You have to Bruce Lee it.
Absolutely. I think that there's the ideas are always the idea. There's always like a bigger picture, mm-hmm. but then when they're fine tuned, I think more ideas even come in. Like every day I have a journal now next to my bed because I will wake up in the middle of the night. I can't see a thing. I'm just, you know, chicken scratching things down. And I know that I've woken up in a hotel room in the middle of the night and get my phone out and writing, you know, like in the notes. I have this idea. That's how this came about. I was like, I was literally at a conference and said, oh my gosh, I'm so inspired by these people. I'm going to do those 12 days of I, which turned into the 12 months. And getting people to, you know, talk to each other about what these I's are. And there's probably way more I's we can do. Mm-hmm. But I do think that those ideas that we have can snowball into others, which brings me to your new idea, which is actually helping others with their ideas, with which is Life in the DIY. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is and how that spark came to you? Or the slow burn, I guess.
This was like a super slow burn, and it was a burn I wasn't aware of. I was just, you know, getting, and I really mean this, I'm getting through what was happening to us during the pandemic, because the amount of just business that was coming in, we, you know, I had never experienced that before. I had a dry erase board in my office. Like that was how I dealt with my events and my artists and everything that was going. So I was new to being an entrepreneur. So that was a huge part. So having a team come on, I had Barbara West, shout out Barbara, came on right in the beginning of like 2020 and helped me get processes together and organize my company so I could handle the intake of what was coming through. So that was what I was doing. But then in the meantime, I had a lot of friends and family that were very close to me, especially up in New York, that were leaving the medical community that never could go back to work. It was like 8 months and my friends that owned salons still weren't open. And, you know, my friends were estheticians and they had no way of making money. And, you know, nobody necessarily expected any help, especially the people that I knew. And honestly, it wasn't enough help. So it didn't matter. Like everyone had to kind of figure out something to do. So I was kind of in the back end helping friends and family, like come up with concepts, like just because it's something that I've always, you know, my fiance will say, like, I kind of tell you if you want to know or not. Because if I hear like a cool idea, I'm like, oh, you should make that a business. And I tell them what I think they should do, which people don't really like that unless they ask.
No, they don't. I literally have a little, my husband, Carlos, he will come up with these amazing ideas and I will get the phone out in my little note section and write them down. And then like once a year, I'm like, look at all your ideas that you had and you didn't do. And yes. Yeah, we can be billionaires right now, but yes, I totally understand that. But what I love about what you're doing with it is that helpfulness. It's always to help another person. Do you ever feel like what you're doing is your purpose in life?
You know, I think I wish I knew what my, I mean, I don't know if anybody knows what their purpose in life is. I think if we all knew that, things would be a whole lot easier. But I do believe that everyone's born with a gift or many. I mean, I think everyone has many, many talents, but like a gift is something that you do really easily with the least amount of effort. And I think it puts the best into the world. And I think for me right now in this stage of my life at 2024, Life in the DIY, which is an online community that's going to encourage and empower fellow creatives to take the first steps to starting a business with their gift. That to me is the thing I can do the easiest with the least amount of effort that puts the best into the world. Because like I said, I'll tell you if you want to know or not, but there's a lot of people out there that do really want to take that leap of faith. And I've taken it. I've taken it a few times. You know, I was homeless in my life. I was on the street at 16 and I did, you know, pursue a music career, which is not an easy business. So my partner, Scott, and I had to really figure out how to make a lot happen with a little bit of money and make a lot of, I don't know, big leaps of faith. And there's processes and there's ways of going about it that I'm like, if I could share what's helped me, it would really like go back and take the 10 years from me. Like if I could go back 10 years ago, I want to talk to that person that was me, frustrated, going, okay, I took this leap of faith. I know I can do caricatures. I know I got a good voice. I'm like, you know, I'm writing songs. I think people like them and people seem to like our shows. Like what the hell is going on? Like, why can't I get where I want to go? And that's when the big awakening happened of the different processes, visualization, the power of your mind, gratitude, all of those things now are way more part of having your own idea become into fruition. It's way more of a part than I think people realize. It's more than I ever realized. It's to me, it was 90% of it was how I looked at the world, how I looked at money, how I looked at myself, what I believed, my faith in everything. So those were the things that I knew if I, when I did life in the DIY, I could help people. And then on top of it, like go in and really dig into their idea and help them get some marketing ideas and like a concept to help them rise above the noise level. Like we did, like, you know, my band Breaker Box, we're a pop rock duo. There's a gazillion of us. Like, how do you rise above the noise level? Well, we're going to partner with Heineken and Red Bull. We're going to go to Tommy Lee's studio and we're going to record everything. And we're going to work with really awesome producers and we're going to pay for it because that's what we want to do. And we're going to control how we sound and we're going to do all of it. And that's how we rose above the noise level. We started to open up for really great acts and like, but we had to put everything on the line. And that's how you have to do it. So, you know, it's not for everybody. Like some people, that's not for everybody. What you and I do and what I probably people that are watching this do, it takes a lot. You kind of be a little crazy, but at the same time, it's not crazy. Like it's almost crazy not to be that way. Yeah. If you feel it inside. And I know you enough that there's no choice here. It's like these ideas are coming and everyone gets that. But like, what do you act on the idea? And, you know, I'm a big believer, you know, my mom passed away when she was really young. She was only 36. So I'm always kind of like, I just don't want to go with any regrets. You know, I didn't want to, and you can, you, I mean, you're going to, but try to cut them down. You know, I'm really answering your question. Sorry.
No, you're doing so great. I just, we can talk forever. And that's kind of the problem sometimes is that when I'm listening to you and what always comes across that we give to each other is that help, that assistance, that, mm-hmm. that accountability, the person on the other side of the phone that is like, oh my God, I have this really hard decision to make. I just need someone to listen to me.
Yeah.
I think that we all need that. And I think that's what life in the DIY is going to bring to the table. Do you have ideas further than that, than kind of getting people through the idea of, helping them really build a business? Will you have resources for, you know, starting your LLC and how to, you know, taxes? I know for me, I'm sitting here going, nobody told me that I should put this much money away because they're going to be taking all my taxes. Like, I think that there's a way that you can get through your idea and be like, this is amazing. I can't wait. And then there's the stuff that comes with it.
That's my plan with as we grow the website. Like right now we're just starting with the beginnings of this. It's launching this year, but I want to have resources for people that were like me and like I'm sure like you and pretty much everybody, because they don't teach you in school. They don't teach you any of this. And once you start getting into it, I will say I have found personally that even in Buffalo, which was a smaller place, once you become an entrepreneur and you take that leap of faith, you attract the same kind of people. All of a sudden, there's somebody there that you can ask questions to. Nashville has incredible resources, but now everything's online. It's like, if you can't find the resources, you're just not looking. Like there's definitely, but I'd love to have a hub where, you know, accountants that I've worked with, you know, QuickBooks, like QuickBooks is still part of the reason I have the twitch in my left eye, because it doesn't make sense to me. And I know that's not a strength of mine. So I hired someone that loves it. That blows my mind. My niece loves math, loves it. I still have math nightmares and I've been out of high school a real long time and I still have nightmares. So there's always somewhere out there, somebody that can help you. You just have to believe that you can find them. And I'd like to cut that down by having lifeinthediy.com have all those kinds of resources that don't stop you. You know, like you said, okay, my idea is great. I got a marketing plan. I have a concept, but oh yeah. Now my health insurance is going to change and now I'm self-employed and that's another tax. And why is that a tax? And each state is different. So then that changes your whole perspective. Do you have a family? Are all of those things, it's all part of it. And so having kind of group meetups where people can just talk to each other and ask questions, like that's going to be part of it. Just kind of organizing the early entrepreneur process. And like for everyday people, but mainly creative people, because we have very different, you know, I have friends of mine that own restaurants, that own pizzerias, they own laundromats. They are incredible entrepreneurs, but we couldn't have anything less in common when it comes to like our process of doing stuff. So there is kind of a difference there of being an entrepreneur, yes, but being a creative entrepreneur. So that's like my peeps. That's who I'm.
No, I was just going to bring that up just because I think that that community is struggling. Because the thing about being creative is it comes from passion. I think it all comes from passion, but it's like the gift paired with the passion. It's that mm-hmm. I have something within me that, you know, as an artist, and it's very subjective, you know, mm-hmm. and I think there's all that. You can eat a piece of pizza someplace and have a good experience, but listening to music has a different effect, or looking at art has a different effect. And right. I think that, you know, when you have an idea or something you've been doing for a long time, I did musical theater. I thought I was going to be an actress. I mean, my whole life. But once I actually start getting acting jobs, I didn't enjoy it anymore. Because for me, I enjoy just doing it, not the business of it.
Right.
And I think when you pair them together, it takes a little bit out of it. But if you can navigate through being a creative and understanding the other processes instead of that overwhelming you, that's where you keep your creativity.
Very well put. Yeah, the business of it will kill it. It can. I don't want to say it will. It can if you allow it to. And I think I delayed the inevitable for a very long time by thinking in an old way of just kind of like, oh, it's the music business. I'm going to look for a record deal. And we did that forever. And I think we just delayed the inevitable because I remember vividly saying to like my best friend, I'm like, I don't want to own a record label. Like, that's not what I want to do. I want to just make music. I want to be in the studio. I want to perform. I don't want to own a record label. And it was like, well, that was kind of the inevitable because at the time, this is like 2008, 2007, you know, it was going, man. Like Napster changed everything. There was no more records. It was just downloads. It's like, so the business aspect of it just changed. And I've talked to older musicians, very successful. I've had a very blessed career where I've actually had very interesting conversations with people that are pretty big. And they've always felt really bad for my generation. They're like, you got so snowed by MTV. Like, we just grew up thinking it was like this thing that it isn't. It's like, it's always been like this. Like, you really have to do your own thing. And the more and more we, and I say we, me and Scott, my partner, he also has a drum lesson studio and was always doing his own thing. It's kind of the inevitable in any business you're in. So the more you embrace the life in the DIY and do it yourself and look outside of the business model, try to do something different. Don't follow trends. That's very challenging as an artist because you want to like hop on a trend, but it's like, that's not art.
Yep.
So it's the chicken and the egg. It's like, you know, Billie Eilish wouldn't have happened if her and Phineas were trying to do what everybody else was doing. And then you see flash forward 2 years later, there's all the, you know, the big studio guys having panic attacks because it's like, no, they did this in a closet.
And I think that it's also, you know, what we go through. I know that that's kind of where I am right now. I came up with this idea and I always say, I'm like, I don't fit in a box. I can be both. I could be a supplier. I could be a planner. I could be doing this and creating this. And everyone's always trying to pigeonhole you into something. And I think that creativity is sometimes squashed. Or we have to go with what everyone is saying in order for someone else to understand and to pay us for it. And we have to rise above that. We are risk takers. And I think that at the end of the day, being a risk taker is what sets us apart. It's been a hard one for me. I'm a planner. I've got kids, you know, taking risks is like, I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure I can do that, you know? Yeah. But I do think that especially being in, you know, an industry where that's what it's about and understanding that sometimes you're just going to have your own record label and that's going to stink. Right. But if you need to rise above it and you can do it, then do it. Because looking for someone always to help you, you always can be a helper. Like, I know that I'm a helpful person. You're a helpful person. Not everyone's like us, but I do think that finding that right help gets you to the next level, finding a mentor, finding a community. And that's what I love about what you're doing. And one thing I wanted to actually kind of touch back on is, you said that it was really, really difficult. And you've talked to a lot of artists. And this is also in the book, but it was coming out of trauma or different circumstances where ideas can come from. Sometimes ideas don't come out of like happy places. Sometimes it comes out of really, really hard places where you've hit rock bottom and you have to do that. Where do you think that the ideas that you have had and maybe others you've talked to come from?
You know, I think to take one of the big heads and beats, virtual idea of like our pandemic pivot definitely came out of trauma, like all the way from that specific trauma and the trauma back in the beginning of my life. You know, I think, you know, if anyone has ever been homeless in your life or really like on the verge, which is a lot of people, a lot, you know, that feeling really never leaves you. And I think that's probably in a weird way, I've embraced it as a good thing because it just doesn't seem to ever leave me. No matter where I'm at, I'm always like, you know, that feeling is there in the world. So, you know, it can happen. It's no joke. It can. It's like, so, but there's ways, like I said, that I'm going to go through in my classes and stuff that I'm going to teach on life in the DIY of programming your brain to attract different things. But that being said, when the world shut down, you know, I remember a friend of mine from back home in Buffalo worked for one of the colleges, and she called me and said, you better start thinking outside the box. We're closing all the colleges tomorrow in New York City. Like, and I looked at my calendar and everything was a college. Like every event I had for the next 3 months, I'm like, wow, I just lost quarter one, or I think we were going into quarter two. So I had no income. And I remember thinking, okay, well, I waited tables before this. I sang and played, you know, an instrument. I cleaned houses before in my life. I've done everything I possibly could, and not one of those things was going to be possible. So I went to a little drive. I remember just taking a drive and sitting in the parking lot at a Publix eating a sandwich, because I'm like a low carb person. So when I'm under stress, I go grab a sandwich. And I kind of zoned out, and I don't even remember how this happened, but I had been reading a book called Think and Grow Rich. It's a book I highly recommend. It definitely changed my life in ways I didn't expect, but I had read it numerous times. I'm a big reader now over the last like 10 years, but I had been listening to that on repeat in Nashville on my audiobook. Every event I was driving to, I was on fumes when I moved here. I was in my mid 30s. I had been grinding since I was 15 years old. I was holding out a lot of faith that this was going to be a good move for us. And the fact that the world had shut down, I was like, you're not going to stop us. So that was like kind of the trauma of like, I react better because of the way I grew up in chaos. It's just something that I never thought would be an asset, but boy, was it, because other people I know very closely kind of shut down. They didn't know what to do and they just waited, which is fine. That was a way to go, but it wasn't the way I could go. And luckily, you know, I had some really good people around me that jumped right with me and kind of had the same vibe. So there may be a Buffalo thing. I don't know.
It's like, maybe it's a New York thing. We were just like every day, like, what are you doing today? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just creating something new, building a website. Like, yeah. You know, you just, I think that sometimes for me, it was the same, you know, the pandemic, definitely like this idea wasn't a thing until that happened. And I was stuck in a place that lost all my income, lost my full-time job, kids at home in virtual school. And it was like, what else am I going to do? It was like, you're hitting a place of, I know that I can do this.
Right.
But then it's like, how do you do this? And then not having that, I think that everything, especially in the creative community, is so much about being in person, hospitality, events, mm-hmm. everything that we talked about that we've been so close to had to do with being in front of people. And when you don't have that anymore, you're like, what do I do? And I love the fact that now you have seen how you can build something with a community and bringing that to others. Can you just like wrap it up right now with, you know, you said you're still building the community. Can you tell us kind of where to find you? Maybe we'll include this all in our socials as well. And if you want to also pop on and answer some questions in our Facebook group, we'd love that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll kind of give everyone how to do that. We've got the workbook. So if people are able to kind of go on and go back, and we can kind of share workbook stuff with you as well, if you kind of want to be one of our little mentors for the year for IDEA, as we help you build yours as well. But tell us a little bit about how to find you and kind of what next steps are for life in the DIY.
Absolutely. Well, one last note I wanted to make that, you know, even though you and I were really in communication, there were so many other people. There was like a little crew, like Robin Bass. There were a lot of people in Nashville that were doing the same thing we were, because I think they all came from the same place of, you know, who knows how everyone grew up and what is going to happen on everyone's personal life. But I remember the Think and Grow Rich, that book. How do I fill a need? And I think that's what, with your idea, whatever you come up with, whatever comes into your mind, it came for a reason. God doesn't give you ideas for no reason. So how can you fill a need with that idea? I think that's the biggest message I got from that book. And that's what I thought about in that Publix parking lot. Like, how can I fill a need with what I do? Because I do this, this, and this. Like, how can I fill a need? So that's what I did. But if you want to learn more about that and more about my processes and in the morning routines and all the things that I did to really change my mind and my thinking to become a owner of a six-figure entertainment company rather than a sole proprietor, which is where I was for a long time, visit lifeinthediy.com right now. You can sign up on our mailing list. We're going to keep you posted when everything's live. You can follow us on all socials. We're on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn. But I'm always trying to connect with people and learn more about you and what your ideas are. And of course, I always love working with you, Debbie. So just keep me posted on what you need from me.
Absolutely. We thank you so much for being here. We going to continue these 12 months. I guess we'll be 11 after this. And just make sure you guys get in there and get the ebook so you know kind of what we're talking about. And also, you know, one of my biggest things is about building community. And I think if you need something, you have a question, please do not hesitate to reach out. And if you have a question for Christina and you can't find her, you always can find me. So thank you so much, Christina, for being a guest, the first one, and look forward to more amazing ideas.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah.